The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
You know, we're called to be a prophetic people. We just had a higher call equipping class on the prophetic. And we sometimes think that the prophetic is just so that I can speak a word over somebody. But I want to suggest to you that being a prophetic people means that we live from what we see and hear in heaven.
Good, yeah.
And that to be a prophetic people means that we acknowledge what's on earth, but we also acknowledge that the answer for what's on earth is in heaven.
Yeah. Yes.
And the answer of what's going on in your life while it's here on earth is found in heaven. And the moment that we cease to live as a prophetic people is the time that we become really fearful and upset and scared with what's going on here on earth.
Yeah.
But I tell you, God, I mean, here's the bridegroom. He's riding. Did you hear that? I love that.
Yes.
Here's the bridegroom.
Yes.
He's riding.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Isis, look out. All of our presidents and all of our elected leaders, look out. Because I tell you, we have a say until the bridegroom comes. And the bridegroom is riding. Here we are. You know, we have a Thursday morning prayer group here, and these people are nuts. I mean, the way they see things and hear things, and I get to kind of facilitate. I just take notes because we have people that get visions and understandings and things that when we pray on Thursday mornings, I just don't want to come any longer with a list. God, here's my laundry list, you know. This is what I see here. This is what I think needs to happen here. I'm the pastor, so therefore I have a voice here. And now, God, would you jump on my bandwagon and do what I want you to do? Because I think it's a good idea. You know, I am so grateful. When we come together to pray on a Thursday morning, we don't come with an agenda. I think there's been maybe a couple of times that I've said, you know, I really feel like we need to press into this. But for the most part, we come together and we just soak and we hear the Lord. And here's the gist of what I'm saying is that what we have in here has got to get out there. Because you are a prophetic people. And if you are living your prophetic life without bringing it into the world that needs to hear a prophetic word, then you're squandering the gift that God has given you. Ouch. Am I mean yet? No? We had a vision. Marilee had a vision about a year ago of a path that went out to the north of the church. And it was a sandy path, a smooth path. And she could see it went out to the end of the horizon. And we as a church were getting on that path. At the end of the path, there were people crying out. There were people, she could hear their cries, we need you, we want you. You know, and like happens with Marilee quite often is God will continue in that vision. It might be a year, it might be months, it might be days, but God will show different things in that vision. So last Thursday, we realized Thursday before last, she saw a barricade had been built. We were on the path. We were almost reaching the people, but there was a barricade built. And the people were on the other side crying out, we need you. Help. We need you. And Bob asked, do you know, were they saved or unsaved people? And immediately she said, no, I believe it was the church. I believe they were saved people. How many know the church needs to hear the good news again?
Yeah.
The good news has got to become the good news again. Because as I look around the landscape of the church, I see so many that are fearful and so many that have just their preconceived ideas of what's supposed to happen. And we're not living from the prophetic, from the place we are seated together with Christ in the heavenly places.
Yes.
Where there is no fear.
Yes, Lord.
Where there is ultimate hope. Will we go through some hard times? Probably. We might. But I tell you, that's not the issue. There are people who are going through hard times right now that are without hope, that have lost their hope in Christ. There's people in the world who just have not been told anything except that, you know, God's just dead and he doesn't care. And yet we know that our God is a very real and a very living God and one who wants to encounter his kids. So we did some business. We tore apart the barricade in the spirit. How many know that when you see something in the spirit, there's something that needs to be done in the spirit? And so we did. We just pressed into that, and Marilee saw that the barricade had been torn down, and it had been set to fire, and wind came and blew all that away. But we saw another vision, and I don't have my notes with me, but the vision was of a cloud. Do you remember the name of the cloud, Bob? It was, there was a particular name. It meant depression and
foreboding.
Foreboding.
Evil foreboding.
Evil foreboding, yes. And it was you that had it, wasn't it, Tricia? And we saw this cloud of evil foreboding. And again, when you see those kinds of things, you understand that there is an evil foreboding. And we believe this was for the Church of Jesus, for us here. So I want to encourage you that when we see things prophetically, we go after them prophetically. It's for the sake of the body here. But if there is anything in you that has this evil foreboding, it's kind of like, well, nothing good's ever going to happen to me. It's like the worst of the worst is going to hit me. It's like, who is Eeyore? The donkey that always was looking for the bad thing that was going to happen. And it's this evil foreboding. Is there anybody here who has just been struggling, just feeling like you can't get on top of it, feeling like there has been just bad news waiting for you every turn of the way? Is there anybody here? Okay. And that's okay. I'm sorry. Did somebody raise a hand that I missed? Back here? Okay. Okay. I'm just going to ask if a few people just gather around Christine and pray for her. Just release prayer. And I know that there's many more of us, but we just really want to gather around our sister. What she's going through right now is really a tough deal. But this evil foreboding is something that does not belong to you and it does not belong to me. Father, let's just stretch our hands towards Christine. She is facing some impossible circumstances. Father, in the name of Jesus, show yourself strong. Show yourself mighty. Show yourself great. On her behalf, behalf of her children. Thank you, Father. Encouragement. Just continue to release encouragement and blessing over there. But this evil foreboding is something that I've gone through. It's something that I've struggled with. It's something that as a pastor, you know, you always are seeing the things that I'm not doing. Or I'm always seeing the things that I'm not doing. It's a crazy thing. I can have 10 bits of really good news come my way, and one bit of bad news come my way. What do you think affects me the most? Anybody else?
Yeah.
Anybody else? I mean, so this evil foreboding, what it does is it takes notice of all the negative things in life. It takes notice of all the things that are not, and it takes notice of the things that are a threat.
That's true.
Now, if I asked again, how many of you have confronted this evil foreboding? I think a few more of us would raise our hands. Because I tell you, it's just one of the plies of the wicked one to get us to forget the things that God has done, the things that God has spoken. I love what Bob says. Never doubt in the dark what you heard in the light.
Yes.
Isn't that a great quote? Anybody else? I mean, you can come and you can be so excited about something and like, wow, this is never going to change. All right, this is, you know, I've got it. I've finally achieved. And you go to bed that night, you wake up the next morning and you kind of wonder where it all went. Anybody else? One of the Psalms, I can't remember which one it is right now, David, he's quoting, he's saying, "So in my prosperity, I thought, I will never be moved. You hid your face, and I became discouraged." I mean, come on. This is real. This is real life. And there's this evil foreboding. There's this thing that the enemy uses to try to discourage, to try to keep you from living prophetically, from living from the place that God sees you as. When we were asked, who has a dream bigger, Sean, who has a dream bigger than ourselves, you know, and we really do. Most of us do. And we've hung around long enough together to, I've challenged you, I've needled you, I've shamed you, I've guilted you, no, into believing for the impossible. You know, and I tell you, I know that's the word of the Lord. I know that the people out at the end of that trail, they don't need more religion. They don't need just another good church service. They don't need just somebody else to tell them how sinful they are. I tell you, what the world is looking for is good news that's backed up by good works, that is proclaimed by those that are his. So I just want to encourage you that the word of the Lord right now to us as a body is, you are needed out there. You are needed out there. Not just Pastor Bob, not just Pastor Dave, not just a few of the high and mighties. Yeah, right. I've never felt more, not hopeless, I've never felt more like, oh my goodness, this is so much bigger than me with what God wants to do. Because I've heard things in the secret place. Can I just say that God, the bridegroom is riding. The bridegroom is riding. Are you here? Are you willing to say, here we are? Are you willing to allow this mind which was in Christ Jesus being found in the fashion as God? Didn't think that he needed to hang on to that to achieve a great name. But he counted himself as no reputation. And he became obedient. I tell you, your faith and obedience go hand in hand. I'm just exhorting right now. I haven't even started preaching yet. But I feel like this is really a critical and an important exhortation. I want to pick up, last time I preached was 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. But do you know who all has preached in the last 5 weeks? I want you to consider the richness of what we have been sitting under for the last 6 weeks. It started off with Brian and Renee following up on oneness and just speaking incredible wisdom as a teacher into who we are and the vision of God for our lives. And then we had the Earlys preach. Remember the Earlys? You know, and man, what could we have taken away from that? I'm still popping my balloons, you know, with... And gosh, then we had Pastor Bob, who is really on this thing for the year. He's got a year-long message that I believe is a lifelong message about joy and coming into this incredible joy that isn't moved by the circumstances. It's a prophetic joy, isn't it?
Amen.
It's a joy that rejoices in what you see in the spirit realm. Yes. And bringing that heaven to earth. You know, Jesus wasn't a pipe dream on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. And we get to co-labor with that. And gosh, then we had, after that, Alan Ross. And he brought just a tremendous word throughout our weekend of the conference on reformation, reforming. How many know that? I don't know about you, but since that prophetic conference, it stirred up a beehive. If you're feeling a little bit like, ah, right now, it's probably a good thing. It really is. I've been feeling kind of like, ah, myself. Because God is just challenging some deep mindsets, some stuff that has been entrenched in my belief system for many, many years. And I guess it's a good thing, right? But there is something injected into the fabric of the house here that was very, very important. And then, of course, last week we had Max Fedizov from Ukraine. And my goodness, 5 weeks. I oftentimes have people say, gosh, I've been coming to your church for 5 weeks, 6 weeks. I haven't heard the pastor preach yet. Well, that's why. That's why. It's not about one voice. It's about different voices that come together and speak the same thing, which is all about the glory of Jesus. So 6 weeks, I started preaching a message that I'm going to continue to press into. And really, all I'm going to be able to do today is to recap and to give you hope. Because I'm going to be preaching every other week for the next couple of weeks here. I've actually kind of forgotten how to preach. But here's what I'm really going to center around. Give me a second to find it. Please take those exhortations to heart, because I really had figured on going. I was really going to be good and I was going to be diligent and I wanted to preach today. But I just feel like this exhortation is really something that we as a body need to be aware of. It's not enough for us to know it here in a prayer circle on Thursday mornings. The thing that I'm pursuing is, what would it be like for people to come together in unity, in real true unity, in the kind of unity that provided an atmospheric condition for Holy Spirit to be poured out? You know, there is an atmospheric circumstances that will actually draw the blessing of God. There's like the conditions that are right, and it has to do with unity, and it has to do with love, and it has to do with hunger, has to do with faith, it has to do with many other things that attract the blessing of God, that attract, in fact, we're going to read it here, the commanded blessing of God. And I mean, I love coming together, and I love blessing one another, and I love what we have here, but I tell you, there's more. There's more. What would it be like to have the commanded blessing of God on our lives? What would it be like to have the commanded blessing of God on our families? What would it be like to have the commanded blessing of God on our businesses and on our city and all these places? I want to read Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edges of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. As just a way of reminder, we're in Acts chapter 2. I'll start in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Can we read verse 39 together? Claim this. Lay hold of this. This is one of the verses that I claim for my family. Let's read it. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Claim that as a promise. And with many other words, he had testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day were about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Unity is something that we haven't begun to scratch the surface of yet. Unity is never uniformity. In fact, true unity is allowing each and every one of you to be uniquely who God has created you to be. And yet to be able to run together, knowing that I've got weaknesses, that I need your strength to fulfill my part, to help me along. And knowing that I've got strengths that will help you in your running the race. And there's this thing about unity that we haven't begun to scratch the surface on. We looked 5 weeks ago at the building of the Tower of Babel. This is the potential of unity even apart from God. It says that they were going to build the Tower of Babel. They were going to make for themselves a name. They started building this tower. And it says that, this is weird, right? But it says that God came down. They looked, they, plural, God, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, looked at what the people were doing, and they said, uh-oh, this isn't good. If we don't stop this, whatever they set their heart to, they're going to achieve. I don't know. Does that just kind of mess with your head a little bit? That messes with my head. The thought that mankind, apart from God, could have such a unified voice that they could build this tower, whatever that represented, whatever that looked like, but they would be able to accomplish everything that they wanted to achieve. And believe me, it wasn't for good. How many know that there is a unified voice of wickedness upon our nation? And it seems like the very most minute minority can have the loudest voice. Why? Because they have gathered people around them with a unified voice. And I tell you, there's the voice of the church has not yet been heard because we're still pretty fractured. We're still pretty divided. I don't know about you. That when you talk about a dream that's bigger than we are, how about a unified church? But how many know that that's the dream of the Father? And that's the prayer of Jesus. How many know that's got two pretty good things going for it? And it's got Holy Spirit that is going to take and move that dream of Jesus ahead. But I tell you, there's one of the things with unity that will destroy it, that keeps us from this commanded blessing, is well, let's just call it gossip. Let's call it a critical spirit. Let's call it when we focus on our disagreements, when we focus on our differences more than we focus on the things that we agree on. Have you ever seen how the enemy loves to twist that? I mean, think of the Church of Jesus Christ. Let's think of the church down the road. Let's think of all the churches down the road. Let's think of maybe a church that we have a disagreement in one or two doctrines, and that's enough to separate us. Well, we're more spiritual. Don't you know that we are the born-again, spirit-filled, non-denominational? And that pride, that arrogance, which pride and arrogance in that way is actually being critical towards somebody that doesn't think like we do. That isn't running in the same way that we're running. That has maybe a different flavor to their call and their ministry than we do. And so back behind the scenes, we are critical to one another. We're critical of those churches that don't seem to be as spiritual. And I'm not saying that you just put your mind on the shelf, your head on the shelf, and accept everything and anything. You know, you get into Buddhism, you get into all sorts of weirdness. No, there is a place where we say, you know, there are some foundations that we will believe and that I will give my life for. But I tell you, there's some stuff that we have made majors of that really aren't that major. They might be more of a minor. Oh, but I believe in apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and we're restoring the fivefold ministry government of God. You know what? That's never left. They just call them different things in different streams. They call them bishops, and they call them, you know, overseers, and they call them, you know. So we have a verbiage, and we have a language, and that's okay. But somebody might speak a little bit different language than we do. That doesn't make them bad people. Doesn't make us right and them wrong. So this thing of unity, and if that happens in the larger body of Christ, which it does, where we aren't focusing on what we do believe. Man, what if we could focus on Facebook about the things that we do believe? What if we could focus on Facebook about the things that are good and lovely and honest and integrous? What if we could focus on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Just because I don't agree with somebody politically and they're a brother doesn't make them worse than me. But I'll tell you, I work division when I start focusing on somebody else's difference. In the book of Acts, well, what does it mean to be under the commanded blessing of the Lord? How many want to live under the commanded blessing of the Lord? I don't even know what it is yet, but I've seen some of it. I mean, come on, really, you know? How much could we really live under the blessing of the Lord? And if you think that you've got the answer, let me guarantee you that you're short-sighted in what the blessing of the Lord could be. Okay? But let's look at Nehemiah. Comes into an impossible situation with a lot of stuff coming against him. A history of the politicians of the land that were against him in building the walls of his city. In fact, they took up arms against him. They're going to kill him. They tried deceiving him to come out from underneath his protection. Come on out and talk to us for a minute. He said, should a man such as I come out and talk to you? See, when you try to get pulled out of the strength, your stronghold, who is Jesus Christ, to compromise so that you can talk to people that have an agenda that is other than Christ's, when you go out there on their land, you will meet defeat. So there's a place of Nehemiah where he knew what he was called to. He knew what he was building. And it says that he actually had to build with his sword in one hand and his tools in another hand. But this is really cool. In chapter 6, verse, I think, 16, something like that, it says that, so the wall was completed in 52 days. Now, this was a big deal. Okay, they didn't have the modern, they didn't have bulldozers to build a wall or anything. They had people lifting heavy rocks, gathering rocks, building rocks with rocks, fighting with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand. And they built this wall in 52 days, and you know what it did? It astonished the enemies. It says they lost heart because they recognized that this was something that God had done. See, the commanded blessing of the Lord releases us into things that we can't do in and of ourselves. The commanded blessing of the Lord releases us to have accomplishments that are impossible with man, but they are very much possible with God. A unified church, you say, across the face of the globe, that's impossible with man. But I'll tell you, it is possible with God. And the bridegroom is riding. And we are saying, here we are. I don't even know what I'm subscribing to yet. Be honest with you. I don't know what I'm subscribing to. I certainly don't want to subscribe to just building another church. I certainly don't want to subscribe to just being better. What I believe that we're subscribing to when we say here we are subscribing to the prophetic word of the Lord that is being unleashed upon our nation even now as we speak. And when we respond to the prophetic word of the Lord that's being released, I'll tell you, we don't have time to criticize people that don't look like us, talk like us, smell like us, think like us. Responding to the prophetic word of the Lord. Just to give you a little bit more hope, I've got a message that I've crafted. And actually, in Acts chapter 2, those verses that we just read, there's seven C words. Just so you know, every good preacher, they always have four C words or four this or five of that, you know. So I've got seven C words. But here's the deal. I'm just going to give you a real brief overview. Unity, I believe, is built by experiences, encounters, if you will. It's sustained through vision and love. And you'll see all that in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 41. That it's an encounter that we have all had upon which we build our unity. See, I don't think in complete agreement with everything that Bob thinks and has an agreement with. Do you know that we give each other freedom to think differently? Do you know that there are some doctrines that are turning the word, tearing the church apart right now, that we as elders don't even all agree on? How's that for scary? But there is a unity that we have in that we have all had encounters that are very similar, that are too true to deny, that are too real to say, well, that was just a happenstance. And our unity is built upon encounters. I mean, it's initiated by encounters. Think of it. We're all gathered here today because we have, dearly beloved, that's an all. We're all gathered here today because we have had an encounter. We've had an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ. In fact, before the encounter, we had a confrontation, right? That's the first C word. Then we had conviction. That's the second C word. The third C word is we had a conversion. I'm going to look into those a little bit 2 weeks when I preach again, but because it's so critical to remember these things. And when we understand that unity is built upon things that are real, encounters, and then it's sustained in a different way, then we know what we're going for. Because I believe that we want to, what's the, you know, the thing that really started me pursuing this is, you know, God always gets me asking questions. Anybody else? And it's not like he thinks I'm going to have the answer. He asked me one time, Dave, what would it be like if a people could truly come together in unity, real unity? What would it be like on any given Sunday morning if we came together with a unity that was beyond, you know, just kind of putting our time in at church again here today? Well, it's my duty. It's something I do because I'm a Christian. What if we came together with purpose and unity that would draw the commanded blessing of God? I don't believe it's just for in a Sunday morning. I believe we can live in the commanded blessing of God. But how many know that this is a good place to practice?
Yes.
I don't know about you, but there is a hunger. When God asks me a question like that, what it does, he's not asking me that like he's holding up a carrot, dangling a carrot in front of my nose. He's asking me that because he's saying, will I find somebody who's going to go after it? Will I find somebody who's going to go after that kind of love, that kind of unity, that's going to believe that this is my passion for my church, this is my heart for the church? In the face of everything you see, in the face of all of my discouragements, in the face of all of my disappointments, in the face of all my failures, in the face of all that, I'm going to believe the prophetic word of God that has been spoken over his church. Ah, look at them. Look how they love one another. I can see that they've been with Jesus. This is what I'm after, guys. And I have to use the feebleness of preaching to try to paint a picture and to build a vision for that. But I have a feeling that there's a crew here that has something so deep in their hearts. And you're willing to believe the unbelievable. Willing to go after that which in the natural is impossible. Amen?
Amen.
So tune in. Next week, Bob is preaching. Let's stand together. So, Father, we want to thank you for vision and hope. God, we want to thank you for the prophetic utterances of God, that you're a God that is never silent, that you are always speaking hope and you're always speaking life into the planet, that you're a God that has a good heart and a good design, good desires for your people. And God, that you don't need to walk into a room for that to happen. You're already here. But something has to happen with our hearts, God. This thing of being cut to the heart. This thing of being impacted more deeply than just hearing another good message or another positive confession thing. Here we are. Here we are. And Father, even the statement, here we are, is beyond us. But Father, we're asking for a grace to fall upon us as a people. We are believing that you're a God of grace, that you are the God of all hope, and that you're continually filling us with joy and peace in believing so that we can abound with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So here we are, Father. And we're asking for a fresh wind of your Spirit to blow. God, this reformational thinking, reform us, God, to think in ways of faith and believing that these things are in your heart and Jesus prayed for them. So here we are. And we say yes. Bless this body. Bless this congregation. Bless us as we go out there, God. May people see something different in our lives that reflects the goodness of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll have teams up here for prayer. Anybody needs prayer for healing, encouragement, strength, come on up, and we'll have people pray with you. And there is Diamond City Bread over in the room over here, so help yourselves.